How many of you have a copy of the Bible? Do you? You have a Bible? You're probably going to need your Bible. If you have your app, you know you can use that. But if you have a Bible, open your Bible to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. We were in Daniel chapter 1 yesterday. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2 in this session. And yesterday I talked to you about Daniel being a man of purpose. And today let's talk about Daniel being a man of God. Daniel being a man of God, because you know, you might think, well, you know, all the men of God just left the room. Pastors are upstairs and youth pastors are downstairs, and then there's us. But the fact of the matter is, every man in this room is called of God to be a man of God. And I want to talk to you about that in this hour. Everybody's called to be a man of God. If you got Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1, say, I got it. All right, let's begin reading then. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, tell us the dream, verse 7, and we'll show the interpretation. The king said, I know what you're up to in verse 8. I know you're just trying to get some time. The thing is gone from me, but if you will not, verse 9, if you will not make known to me the dream, there's one decree for you, for you've prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Look at verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man on the earth that can show the king's matter. Now, let me ask you a question. Here's what they said. Nobody can do that. That's what they said. Now, here's the question. Are they right or wrong? That's interesting, isn't it? Because I got both answers there. And I thought I would. Because on the one hand, they're right. Nobody can do that. On the other hand, they're wrong. And we're going to find out why. Now, here's what Nebuchadnezzar did. He dreamed a dream. How many of you ever dreamed a dream? Have you? Anybody ever had a dream? How many had a dream last night? Anybody here? Anybody dream last night that somebody in your room was snoring really loudly? You know what it is, a dream, don't you? This is not the kind of dream we're thinking about when it says Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. This was a divine message from God. We know about the normal dreams, like the one about the guy that dreamed he was a muffler and woke up exhausted. That's pretty bad, wasn't it? Did you hear about the guy that dreamed he ate the world's largest marshmallow and then couldn't find his pillow? That's dumb. That's so dumb. My wife dreams vividly. I dream all the time, but if I remember a dream, it's rare. I know I dream. I'll wake up and in the night remember, wow, what a dream. Go back to bed, wake up next morning, have no idea. I don't know if that's a gift from God or if it's just that I'm dumb. But I dream all the time. But my wife, on the other hand, dreams and always remembers it. And she can give you the details. Including the emotions. I mean, men have a wife. She can give me the emotions of the dream. My wife had a dream not long ago and woke up mad at me. My wife woke up mad at me because in her dream, she dreamed I was flirting with another woman. I don't flirt with other women. I haven't done that. I don't do that. I know better than that. But in her dream, she dreamed I was flirting with another woman. She dreamed that. And she's mad at me. It was a dream. I had to apologize for not flirting with a woman. It's not this kind of dream. You know, it's not this kind of dream. This is a divine message from God. Nebuchadnezzar's been dreaming these dreams, and God's talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what to do with it. Something's going on here. I keep having this dream, and God's talking to me. I don't know what to do about it. This is a vision from God. Y'all aware of that? This is not an ordinary dream. This is a vision from Almighty God. And here's what happens. Nebuchadnezzar knows the dream. Now, don't misunderstand. All my life, I had this idea that Nebuchadnezzar could not remember his dream, and called in the Chaldeans and the soothsayers to tell him what the dream was and to give the interpretation. Now here's what I discovered as I got to studying this text. When the Bible says in verse 5, when the king says to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me, the thing he's referring to there is not the dream. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar knows what he dreamed. The thing here he's referring to is the decree he's making. The decree is gone from me, and here's the decree. I got a dream, and I don't trust you guys. Here's what's happening. I've had a dream, a vision from God. This has got to be the gods. This is how Nebuchadnezzar would have said it. He was pagan. The gods are talking to me, and I don't know what's going on here, and I'm worried about it. And you guys claim you know the gods. So if you do, I won't know if you're the real deal or not. I don't trust you guys as far as I can throw you. So what's happening here? You guys have a lot of power, and I don't trust you because I'm the big dog, and yet you claim to have power from the gods, and I got a dream. The gods have been talking to me, and I don't know what's going on here. So here's what I want from you guys. I want to know about this God thing y'all claim you're doing. I want you to tell me what I dreamed and tell me the interpretation of it. Now think about the practicality of that. Somebody says, well, I kind of think he didn't remember what he dreamed. Well, here's why that wouldn't have worked. Because if Nebuchadnezzar had no idea what he dreamed, just make something up. I mean, obviously he doesn't know. I mean, if he doesn't know, just fake it. I mean, just fake it. But they knew they couldn't fake it because they knew that he knew. Y'all follow what I'm saying here? So here's the thing that's gone from him, not the dream. He hasn't lost the dream. He knows what he dreamed, but here's what he did. He wanted to test them. All right, you guys say you're the real deal. You say you are. Can I say it like this? You claim to be men of God. All right, fine. Then let me see how powerful your God is. Tell me what I dream and tell me what it means. Because I really do want to know what it means, but I don't trust your interpretation unless you can tell me what I dream. This is quite a story, isn't it? And here's what they said. They said, we just want you to know something, O king, live forever. I always think that's the funniest thing, right? O king, live forever. And obviously he's not going to, but they always say that. O king, live forever. And then they said, nobody can do that. And I just want to tell you, they were right. There's just no way. My wife was mad at me for a dream, but I know what she dreamed. I can't even interpret dreams like that, let alone a vision from God. What in the world are we talking about here? So here's what happened. How many of y'all know the story? Y'all know the story? So I can skip parts of it. Y'all know the story? If you know the story, wave at me like this because you like you need to. Wake up now. Wake up. And so y'all know the story. So here's the story. The king said, all right, since you can't do it, I'm going to send out my army and they're going to kill all you men. And the men go out to kill Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they're part of that group. So Daniel in verse 14 says to the captain of the king's guard, he said, what's going on here? They told Daniel what happened. And Daniel said, hold on a minute. Go in and ask the king if I can have a little time because I got to talk to my God. Go tell the king, I need a little time. I don't know what you dream, but my God does. And I'll talk to my God and I'll come back and I'll tell you what the dream is. Can you imagine this guy Daniel saying that? I have no idea what God's saying to you, but let me go talk to him. He'll tell me and I'll come back and tell you. I don't know about you, but I like this. Don't you like this? Don't you wish you had that kind of faith? I have no idea what God's doing in your life. But let me talk to him a few moments, and I'll come back and tell you about it. As my wife said to my son one time, she said, I don't know what to do about this. Let me just talk to God. That kind of scares you a little bit when you're a teenage boy, right? Because this may mean God's going to kill you. If your mom is praying, you better straighten up because God might kill you. And he goes out, he said, I don't know what the dream is. Nobody can do that. But he said, give me a little time. And I love what he did. Don't you love what he did? Here's what he did. In verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. And I love verse 19. Just like it's no big deal. Verse 19 says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings, and setteth up, kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. The light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And so Daniel went and got the captain of the guard and said, God told me what the dream was, and he told me what the interpretation was. Bring me before the king. Can you imagine this story? Can you imagine Nebuchadnezzar, who doesn't believe in the wise men, doesn't trust them as far as he can throw them, and yet there's a guy, one of those boys from Judah, one of those young men he brought down from Judah, who is fairer and fatter and 10 times better, brought that boy's going to come in here and tell me what I dream. Don't you wonder where Nebuchadnezzar had to be thinking, where's this going? What's about to happen here? I'm sure he was all ears. Don't y'all think so? He's all ears. What in the world's going on here? And so you know the story. And I love it. I love it. Verse 25, Arioch brought in Daniel before the king, and he hurried to do it. And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. I like Daniel better, don't you? I like Daniel better, don't you? I never one time thought about naming any of my kids Belteshazzar. That's quite a name. And the king said in verse 26, are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? And I love Daniel's answer in verse 27. You got your Bible open? Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. Now just look at verse 28. Are y'all looking at verse 28? Check out verse 28. Just so y'all know, there is a God in heaven. Now, if that doesn't put you on shouting ground, you need to wake up. I can't do it, and the Chaldeans can't do it, and the soothsayers can't do it, and the astrologers can't do it, and there's nobody on this earth that can do what you're asking. But, oh, King, I got you. I just need to let you know about something. There is a God in heaven. If that doesn't put you on shouting ground, you need help. There's a God in heaven, he said. And here's what he said. I know that God, and I've been with that God, and he's real, and he's going to tell, he's told me your secret. Can you imagine how Nebuchadnezzar must have felt? Because Daniel says, here's what you dreamed. Can you imagine this king? He doesn't know God. He's a pagan king, worshiped pagan idols. In fact, he believes himself to be God. Which is why here in a few chapters later, he's going to build a monument of himself, and they're going to play the music and say, bow down and worship me. That's what's happening later in Nebuchadnezzar. He doesn't believe in God. He believes he's God. And yet here comes in this boy from Judah, this young man from Judah, who he trained for 3 years and claims to know this God. And the young man comes in and says, I can't do that. You know I can't do that. Nobody can do that. None of your men can do that. But my God is the God of heaven, and here's what he told me you dreamed. I don't know how, I don't know what I'd have done, but I'd have been like, I'd have told him the dream, and I'd have been like, am I right? I'd have been like, how'd that do? I just being practical, don't you think that'd be like all right, did I get it? And you know, Nebuchadnezzar's the only one that knows. Can you imagine this old godless king's heart? There's one thing he knows right now. There's a God in heaven. Daniel, how did Daniel know that? Now Daniel has the attention of the king. Can I add to that? Now God has the attention of the king. And you know the story, don't you? It's an incredible story. It's just phenomenal. I love how it ends. He interprets it, tells him all about it. Go to verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors on him. Here's a king who still doesn't get it. I don't have time to preach on this. He still doesn't get it. But did you notice how many times, you ever read the book of Daniel and notice how many times God keeps talking to Nebuchadnezzar? Over and over again. God is all over this King Nebuchadnezzar over and over again. And here's what he's doing to get his attention. He's using a man of God. How many of you guys are aware of the fact that God has called you to be a man of God? Are you aware of that? And here's all it's going to take. It's just a simple little outline for you. Here's all it's going to take. Number one, write this down somewhere. Daniel just knew who God was. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to have an ordination certificate. You don't even have to teach a Sunday school class. If you are a man and you know who God is, you're a candidate for being a man of God. How many of y'all know God? How many of y'all saved on your way to heaven? How many of y'all know God? All right. How many of y'all know who He is? I mean, seriously, you know who He is? You know this God? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? I mean, I'm talking about you really know Him. Like one day, I was in college, and a friend of mine in college said, hey, there's a girl I know that you ought to get to know. And in fact, if you'll come to the soccer game Friday night, I'll bring her, and it'll be a blind date. How many of you are with me? I don't believe in blind dates. How many of you are with me on that? I want to know. Can I get a witness here, brothers? Not taking a chance on that. See, teenagers, look at me. Are you teenage boys? When I was a teenager, I got saved and I started praying for a wife. How many of y'all believe that's a good thing to do? You believe that's good? I started praying for a wife, all right? And I'll tell you what I did. I prayed for a wife, and the man who led me to Jesus, he was all spiritual about it. He and I would meet together. I was a preacher boy in his youth group, and he and I would meet together, and he would pray spiritually about me a wife. And he would ask God, he'd say, Dave's going to need a good wife. Help her to be a soul winner. I'm okay with that. God, help her to love your word. I'm okay with that. He prayed all this spiritual stuff. But I'm going to be honest with you. Beside him, I said, Lord, help her to be pretty. How many of y'all with me on that? Woo, Lord, help me to be pretty. Y'all know, I wouldn't take it. She said, I got a little blind date for you. I'm not going. So she said, you can trust me. How many of y'all know that you should never trust anybody else except God when it comes to choosing your wife? Y'all with me on that? I'm not trusting you. And so finally, all right, he said, her name is Bethley Dennis. I'm like, well, that didn't help me. So that class ended. I ran back to my dorm room, pulled out last year's yearbook, went back to the back, found the D's, comma, Bethley, page, whatever. And I turned over there. Oh. I went to the soccer game. Because I knew that girl. Now, I'd never talked to her. Y'all know that? I'd never said a word to her that I know of. But I knew her. I'd seen her around campus. You know what I mean by that? And I'd pass her on campus like, there's a pretty girl. You know, that's okay, right? Y'all know that's okay, right? My son came home from church one day. We visited this church. We were driving home from church. I said to my kids, they're all in the van with us. I said, what'd y'all think about that service? My son, who normally is not super spiritual. My son, he goes, Daddy, I could go to that church. He's first one to answer. Normally you got to pull it out of him. What'd y'all think about that church? Daddy, I could go to that church. Well, why? Thinking the preaching was awesome. The God spoke to his heart in the sermon. And my little heart's like, wow, God's working in my son. The music was amazing. So I said, well, tell me about it. He said, Dad, that church got a lot of pretty girls. There were two things I thought. Y'all with me on this? Number one, woo, praise God, he's normal. Are y'all with me on that? I was like, woo, this is good. He likes girls, and I'm okay with that. And number two, he likes pretty ones. I was okay with that, too. Y'all with me on this? And so I didn't know, I knew her, but I didn't know her. Remember the day when you met Jesus and you knew him. You knew he was good. You knew he was the Savior. You knew he died. You knew he was buried. You knew he was raised from the dead. You met him. You know him. But I'm talking about beyond that. I'm talking about that when you start growing. Remember the day I met, I didn't know her. We sat at that soccer game and we talked and we smiled and we laughed and she had beautiful blue eyes and it got my attention. I was like, oh my word, those eyes. I was thinking to myself, I could dive in those and swim forever. That was a good line, and not one man wrote it down. I'd highly recommend you write that down. If she has brown eyes, I'd recommend you change it. Otherwise, you go meet Jesus. I was just in love. See, I didn't know her. I didn't know her. Here's what happened, though. I started growing my relationship with her. How many of you have experienced it? This year, we're going to celebrate 30 years of marriage. You know something? I'm getting to know her all the time. Just getting to know her. January 19th, 1986, I met Jesus. Got to know him. I'm way down the road, farther than my marriage. I'm getting to know him. I find out new things about him all the time. I fall more in love with him every year. I'm more blessed by him every day that I live. I've traveled all over the world to tell people about him, and I've never laid eyes on him. I've never seen him with my physical eyes, but I've told people about him in Haiti. I've told people about him in Belarus. I've told people about him in Moldova. I've been all over the Philippines to tell people about him. I've never one time laid eyes on him, but I get to know him better every day. And here's a man that knows God. What do you know about God? There's at least several things here you ought to see. Watch this. Daniel knew who God was. There's no doubt about that. He says, there is a God in heaven. That's what he knew. This God is real. Let's just start there. Do you know that God is real? You know why I love the prayer advance? Because the prayer advance is a place where you can experience God. where you sense Him, where you understand that this is a meeting with brothers and we're all here around this one person, God. We're not here because of Harold Vaught. We're here because there's a living God and we know Him and we want to know more about Him. My children go to the prayer advance. When I can get my kids to the student prayer advance, I send them. Because you know what happens to my kids in student prayer advance? They experience God. They experience Him. All of a sudden, I took my teens to a student prayer advance, and we were always in we've always been members of pretty conservative churches. Conservative churches, y'all know this, don't you? Conservative churches don't do a lot of this. Can I get a witness in the room? I mean, we don't do that. We don't do that. That's awkward. And if we do, we're awkward about it. Because and then there's something like, they're all in, I was at a student prayer advance, and I was on this side of the auditorium, and my kids were on the front row on this side of the auditorium, and we were singing. I was over there one night, and I got a kid singing like this. And I thought, what in the world? Where did he learn to do that? Student prayer advance. Changed my kid's life. The presence of God. There's a God in heaven. You guys in the balcony, there's a God in heaven. He's real. This is what Daniel is. There's a God. I don't have to be afraid. What's happening in this world politically? I don't know. In fact, I quit watching the news. Y'all with me on that? If you had no idea who Nancy Pelosi was, you could still die happy. If you had never heard of Joe Biden or Donald Trump, either one, you could still survive. Are you aware of that? The politics just if you watch the news late at night, you will go to bed discouraged. But not if you put your eyes on the God of heaven, because there's a God in heaven bigger than the politics. Did you know this? Did you know there is a God in heaven? Did you know He's bigger than Washington, D.C.? Did you know He has more power than a Joe Biden? Did you know that the God of heaven is still on the throne of the universe? Did you all know that? And Daniel knows that God. This is where a man of God comes from. He knows God. And you see it all over the text. In fact, let's just go fast here. Daniel finds out in this passage, I already read it for you, that God is almighty. Throw that on the screen. He's almighty. He's almighty. Throw this on the screen. He's the God of, He's full of mercy. He's full of mercy. And then He's the God of wisdom and power. Daniel talks this, and he's at work in His world. This is what Daniel says right here. How many of y'all believe that God is almighty? Do you? So anybody here ever struggle in your marriage? Do you know that Almighty God can help you with your marriage? Anybody got kids that's heavy on your heart? Anybody here got kids heavy on your heart? Anybody here got kids heavy on your heart? Did you know there's a God in heaven that is almighty? This is where you get a man of God. It's not about me. It's not, I gotta try harder. I just gotta man up. I gotta be the man. Well, no, you don't. You just gotta have God in your life. And it doesn't matter how you live. I'm not undermining that. But being a man of God starts with, I know who God is. He is almighty, and He's full of mercy. He's the God of wisdom, and He's the God of power, and He is at work in His world. I don't care what's going on in your life. Almighty God is real, and He wants to be your God, and He wants to be close to you, and the God of heaven wants to work in your life in such a way that you become a man of God. That's what He wants. And you may never stand before Nebuchadnezzar. But many of you men are going to leave this camp or this church, this property, and you're going to go back and stand beside your wife. And you know what your sweetheart needs? She needs a man of God. Do you know what your son needs? A man of God. You know what your daughter needs? A man of God. You know what the people you work with need? A man of God. You know what your church is desperately needing? Men of God. And it all started because Daniel knew God. Do you know this God? See, He knows all about you. Are you okay with that? He knows what you do. He knows what you do not do. He knows why you do what you do. He knows why you do not do what you do not do. He knows what you would not do if you did not have to. He knows what you would do if you could get by with it. He knows your dreams. He knows your schemes. He knows your successes. He knows your failures. How many of y'all are aware of the fact that God just knows everything about you? And how many of y'all know this? He loves you. I said, God knows everything about you. And how many of y'all know this? He loves you. I was in a church not long ago, and the pastor caught me off guard. He got up and told his church this at the end of the service. He said, church, before you go home, and I just want to tell you something. He said, don't you forget this when you go home. He said, I just want y'all to know this, church. God likes you. And it kind of caught me off guard. I said, run that by me again. God likes me. God, how many of y'all know somebody you don't like? Anybody here? Just be honest. Anybody here? Is there somebody you don't like? I was the other day, Christmas, my wife and I went on a date, and that's another word for shopping. And can I get a witness? And so my wife and I went on a date. We went out to eat. We talked a while, and then we did some Christmas shopping. And there's a little grocery store in Pensacola, Florida, near where I live. And we were over there. We only go in there when we want to look. We don't buy in there. Because it's one of those grocery stores that really you can't shop in there unless you got a lot of money. And I don't have enough money to shop in there, but it's so cool. We always take a walk through that grocery. It's just a cool grocery store. And they have free coffee. And so you can get a little cup of coffee and you walk around with your wife. It's just a cool little date. And it's cheap. And so coffee's free. And so you can go in there. So my wife and I, we're trying to find the parking places. It's an old parking lot, and it's hard to get two cars to pass each other, though you can. It's both, you know, it goes both directions. And it's hard to park, and I had my pickup truck. I'm trying to find a parking place, and I come up to the door, and there's a car coming this way, but they're trying to turn down where I am, but they can't because my truck's too big. And the car coming this way is trying to turn down, but that car can't because my truck's too big. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and pull out so they can come down. And I get halfway out into that road, and this older lady came out of that grocery store pushing a shopping cart. She's got enough money to shop at this grocery store where I can't afford nothing. You'd think she'd be happy. You won't believe what she did to me. She came out that door. I'm sitting in my pickup truck. I stopped to let her cross the street, and she gave it to me. I mean, she just gave it to me. And I don't know what possessed me. I ought to know better than this. I rolled down my window. I said, excuse me, I didn't get that. I don't know why I did that. I said, excuse me, I didn't get that, ma'am. So she gave it to me again. And I just want to confess to you, I didn't like her. What I wanted to say to her was, Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. But I didn't. But I confessed that my heart wanted to. So I sat there a moment. So finally I just said, well, Merry Christmas. And I drove on. And my poor wife was like, I can't believe you. And my wife had her head down. She's, I can't believe you. And I don't know who that was, but I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't like her. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? I guess if I knew me, I wouldn't like me either. Anybody here like that besides me? And yet God likes me. God likes me. He loves me. He calls me his son. God just likes me. He knows things about me you wouldn't like. But he loves me. And he just works on me. And he's so good. See, he's a God who's at work in our world. He's at work in you. Why? Because he wants you to be a man of God. He knows all going on in your life. My friend Nick Anderson, his dad left him when he was 3. Dad left him when he was 3, and his mom moved to Las Vegas, got a job in the casinos, and left him home alone by himself all night while she worked in the casinos. When he was 5 years old, he'd get himself up and out the door for school. Kid raised himself. I took him with me on the road. He's a young preacher. He's now a youth pastor in Los Angeles. Took him on the road with me to do children's meetings in my revivals. And we were in this one church, and the youth pastor was getting ordained. Somebody answer that. If that's my wife, tell him I'm preaching. And I got to close. But every time I hear a phone ring, I remember something happened to me in Alabama in a family conference. We were in this building. It was packed wall to wall. I mean, I couldn't move. I stood like this because the front row was right there, and there were people right. I had one little place to stand. This building was packed for this family conference, and the lady playing the piano, she couldn't leave the piano when she was done playing, so she's sitting there against the wall, and halfway through my message on the family, her phone started ringing the Alabama fight song, and she had a purse the size of her piano, and she couldn't find her phone. And it kept ringing and ringing. It's one of those, it kept getting louder every time it rang. So finally, then in my sermon, I said, well, my word, just answer it. Nobody's listening to me anyway. The whole crowd's looking at her. So I said, well, just answer it. And I'll never forget this, because she did. And she had like that smoker's voice, and she's like, hello. And then she goes like this. She goes, no, he's still preaching. What in the world? So every time I hear a phone ring in my service, I think, he's still preaching. And so what was I saying anyway? I just got totally sidetracked there. I'm talking about Daniel and my friend Nick. So we're at this church, and the youth pastor was getting ordained, and he's a friend of mine. I was on the ordination council. In fact, I preached the charge at the ordination, and I took Nick in. He's not ordained yet, so I took Nick in and said, you just sit in the corner for this ordination. And the pastor of this church did the ordination in a way I'd never seen before, and it's now my favorite way. Here's what they said. He said, now, all the men there, several pastors and all the deacons, he said, now, look, we know this brother. This is Ethan. He's our youth pastor. He was raised here. We know his parents. We know his mom. We know his dad. We just know him. So we really don't need to examine him. We don't need to find out what he believes about the gospel. We know. We know he believes in the virgin birth and the deity of Christ. We know what he thinks about the Bible. So he said, let's not have a council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L. He said, let's have a council, C-O-U-N-S-E-L. So he said, we're going to take the next couple hours here and just counsel him. Brothers, it was beautiful. His grandpa was in that room, pastored for 41 years, the same church. One of the godliest men I know, his grandpa, gave wonderful counsel to his grandson. I wrote it all down as fast as I could write. It was amazing. His dad's the music director in the church, gave him good counsel. His uncle's the pastor of the church, gave him good counsel. All these men watched him grow up. It was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. The next morning, we had a staff meeting, and I said to Nicholas, what did you think about the ordination council yesterday? He said, I hated it. Excuse me? So I hated it. I said, what do you mean? And he got big tears. He said, you don't know what I'd give to have a grandpa like that. Dave, you don't know what I'd give to have a daddy and an uncle like that and all those men. I don't have any of that. You ever been there? See, some of you are there. I don't have that. I said to Nick, same God of Ethan and his family is your God too. I said, let me tell you something, son. Let me tell you something. You will never be Ethan. Your grandfather will never be able to give you that kind of counsel. I'll tell you what you could do. You can get all in for Jesus. Raise your son. Let your son have a son. If you get all in for Jesus, and your son gets all in for Jesus, and your grandson gets all in for Jesus, you'll never be Ethan. But there'll be a day in your life you could be grandpa. There'll be a day in your life, as a man of God, you could sit at a table and give counsel and wisdom to your grandson. It's just going to take 60 years. How many of you know God is the God of history? Here's Daniel living down here in this pagan land, in a pagan culture, serving a pagan king, and his whole world is falling apart. But he got to know God. He got to know God. And here's where we're going to close. He got to know God. Daniel knew God, but number two, Daniel knew what he had to do. He knew what he had to do. Daniel knew what he had to do. He knew it. The answer has always been, okay, let's seek the God of heaven. The answer has always been, let's seek the God of heaven. All right, I don't know what to do. Here I am down here, and the king's going to kill us all. What do I do? And Daniel said, well, only thing I know to do is this. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would you get with me, and let's seek God about this. I don't know what to do as a man. I don't know what to do. Here's what Daniel did. I don't know what to do. We're all going to die. I don't know what to do. I don't like living down here. I don't like being a eunuch. I don't like pain. I don't like where I live. But there's a God in heaven, and all I know is get a hold of him. And he did. And here's how we'd say it. And the rest is history. He did. So can I say this to you, brothers, this afternoon? Can I say this? You want to be a man of God? Let me just say this to you. Put this on the screen. Number one, get to the Word. Number one, get to the Word. Daniel sought God. That's how he became a man of God. He sought God. How many of y'all believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you? All right, brothers, get to it. Get to it, get to it, get to it. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy words were found, Jeremiah said, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, because I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thy word. God, I need your word. Brothers, you want to be a man of God? Get to the word. Get it open every day. Open it to your children. You don't have to have a revival meeting, but open God's word every day and tell your kids something from it. Just call them in at night, turn the TV off and put the phone down and say, hey, before we go to bed, let's read 4 or 5 verses in Proverbs chapter 1. And everybody in your family, read a verse. Just read a verse around the room and say, what did that say to you? Well, here's what it said to me. Just a few. We don't have to sing Just As I Am or have a guitar. You just got to get the word, get to 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 the word. That's how you become a man of God. You got to seek God. How do you seek God? You get to the word. Brothers, it's that simple. I'm almost out of time. You got to get to the word. You got to get this. You got to get to the word. How long has it been since you read the Bible every day? Then let's change it. Let's say, God, I will. Because you're called to be a man of God. Nobody has ever been a man of God apart from the word of God. So you got to get to the word, get to the word, get to the word, get to the word, get to the word. Get it open. Get to reading. Get you an app. Let it read to you on the way to work. Set your alarm to wake you up with a Bible being read. Read the word. Read the word. Put it in your headphones while you're jogging. Well, never mind that. I can tell you don't do that. Put it in your headphones while you're driving. Just get the word of God into your life. You need it. Daniel, how in the world did you become a man of God down there in that pagan culture with a pagan king in that pagan world, a pagan idolatry? Here's how he did it. He got to the word. He got to God. He got to God. You got to get to the word. Put this on the screen. You get to the word, and number two, here's what you got to do. You got to get to the closet. How many of y'all know what I mean by this? Jesus said, when you pray, where? What do you do? Where do you go when you pray? Enter into your what? Enter into your closet. Your closet. Now, how many of y'all have seen the movie War Room? War Room. It's not that word. She cleans out her walk-in closet and starts a prayer meeting in there. That's not exactly what that word means, so it's fine. If you want to pray in your walk-in closet, start a prayer room in your walk-in closet. I've got this evangelist friend of mine, and he bought himself a little Amish-made little building. And this friend of mine, y'all heard this friend of mine? He bought himself a little Amish-made building to pray in. And I got to think about that, because I've been wanting one of those, and my wife said to me, I don't think we have the money for that. But how can she argue with this? Honey, I need a prayer room. And I said, Brother Harold, you are on to something. Y'all with me on this? What a deal. But see, it's a closet. It's his closet. He bought himself a closet. I don't know what he paid for it, but he's got a closet. I understand somebody got onto him about it. Somebody, he posted online about it, and somebody got onto him about it, you know, I don't know if it was wasting the Lord's money or whatever. And Brother Harold was a little discouraged about it. How many of y'all know he's a little emotional? Do y'all know that? And he's a little discouraged about it. And I thought, well, what kind of an idiot would discourage a person from praying? That was too harsh, wasn't it? I shouldn't have said idiot. That's too harsh. I shouldn't have said that. Because he might be a nice guy. But are you serious? You're gonna get on to Brother Harold because he bought a room to pray in? Because didn't Jesus say, pray in your closet? Find someplace, brothers, to pray. My papa was a moonshiner. Meanest man, Wartburg, Tennessee, got gloriously saved. Built a prayer closet in the corner of his dairy barn. Every morning when milking was done, you'd find Papa Young after milking over on that little altar he built in the corner of his dairy barn. He had a little prayer closet. I don't know what y'all do. And you know, you don't have to kneel and pray. You can lay on your face if you want and pray. You can sit. Daniel sat in the presence of God. But you ought to get to your closet. Get to a closet. Because you've got to get to know God so you can be a man of God. Get to your closet. Find a place to kneel. Find a place to sit in the presence of God every day and talk to Him. You need it, brothers. You need it. God is real. Hear how God called you to be a man of God. So you got to know God. You got to know what to do. And here's what you got to do. You got to get to the Word. You got to get to the closet. There's two others. We have time for them. We've got 2 minutes. Get to the Word. Get to the closet. Give me the third one there. Get to the Word. Get to the closet. Get to the praise. Enter into His presence with and into His courts with. Just get to the praise. Brothers, we're called to be men of God. And part of being a man of God is getting in the Word of God and having a prayer life and praising God. So get to the praise. Maybe you've never done this, but maybe some of you should. Because some of you just, praise doesn't mean anything to you. You just go through the motions. You go, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, say to wretch like me. When what you ought to be doing is remember that it was a wretch that got saved. And you know what? Sometimes I think maybe the reason we don't praise too much is because we've forgotten what we were saved from. We, brothers, we literally were saved straight out of the gates of hell itself. You say, well, not me, I saved when I was five. Well, bless your little heart, I know you had tried everything. I mean, it's a lousy testimony when you were saved at five, isn't it? I mean, it kind of is, you know. Like that brother got up today, and you know, boy, that was a testimony, wasn't it? Woo, my soul! My wife was saved when she was four, so she's like, you know, I got saved when I was four. There you go. I tried everything. I went around the block twice on my tricycle. But you know what can happen? And men like us, some of you are raised in a Christian family. Some of you have never had a dad that drank a drop of alcohol in his life. Nobody's ever smoked a cigarette in your house. God's been so good to you that you don't even praise Him. And you know Him, you love Him, but there's no praise. Because you somehow have missed the fact that you were saved right out of the gates of hell just like every other hell-deserving sinner in the world. And praise is about how good God's been to you. Has God been good to you? Yes or no? Then shouldn't there be praise in your life? Thank you, Lord. And you don't have to raise your hands. Not everybody does it. You may not be that kind of person. But we ought to come into His presence with thanksgiving. Are you grateful? And do you ever take time to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord for a beautiful day. And praise the Lord. And do you ever, I don't know if you raise your hands but everybody, if you're going to be a man of God, you got to get to the Word. You can do that, can't you? What's Daniel doing? He's seeking God. He's getting a message from God. You got to get to your closet. Twice in the book of Daniel, only twice, do you find Daniel's home. You look it up. Both times, there's a prayer meeting there. Both times. Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 6. Twice, there's a prayer meeting. So get to your closet and get to your praise. And I got one more thing to tell you, and our time is gone. And it's simply this right here. Get to the impact. Because here's what a man of God is all about. And let's close. Being a man of God is about God using you to impact your world. Did I say that right? Being a man of God is about God using you to impact your world. See, I'm no Daniel. I don't know that I will ever meet Joe Biden. I don't know that I'll ever meet AOC, Nancy Pelosi, or Donald Trump. It's not my ability or gift to meet Nebuchadnezzar's. But I can tell you who I do meet. This wonderful young lady named Bethley that agreed to marry me 30 years ago this year. Five kids and a son-in-law and two daughter-in-laws. That's my world. And Mary, who lives over here beside me. Marty and Dee over there. And two houses down, Anthony. I've been trying to get him saved for 12 years. Drove in his yard the other day and said, Anthony, should I just stop coming over here and talking to you about Jesus? I just said it. I just rolled down my window and I said to Anthony, should I stop telling you about Jesus? Put his beer can down. Put his finger in my face. Whatever gave you that idea? Kind of caught me off guard. I was a little startled. He said, let me tell you something. I know I need God, and I know I'm going to hell, and I know I need to get saved, and one of these days I'm going to, and when I do, I'm coming to your church to do it, all right? And I was like, okay then. How about Sunday? Let's just jump in. See, that's my world. You know this, don't you? You're not called to be Daniel. You're called to be a man of God. Any man in this room, you see that? Any man in this room can get to the Word. You can be a man of God. Any guy in this room can get to your closet and start a prayer life. You can be a man of God. Any man here can get to the praise. Worship God every day and in church on Sunday. Any man here can get to the impact. You ever pray with your wife? That'd make an impact on your marriage. You ever pray with your son or daughter? Make an impact on your family. Do you ever talk about the Bible to your children? That'd make an impact. When you overhear a conversation at work, do you ever tell somebody, well, you know, I'm a Christian, I can pray with you about that if you want me to. Make an impact in somebody's life. Don't you let the devil discourage you. The devil's going to say to some of you, well, you know what, your kids are far from God and there's no hope for you. Can I tell you something? There's a God in heaven who wants you to be a man of God so he can use you in your kid's life that's far from him. How many of y'all know, even if your kid's far from God, you can love them? How many of y'all know that? Didn't God love you when you were far from him? And you can talk to them. Didn't God talk to you when you were far from him? And you can invite them to your house, can't you? Didn't God invite you to his house when you were far from him? Didn't you ever go to church when you were far from God? It was a little awkward? Sure it was. But didn't God keep inviting you? Come on, talk to me, didn't he? All right, so let's not go home and be dumb. We're men of God. We are called to be men of God. So brothers, get to the word, get to the closet, get to the praise, get to the impact, because you are called of God to be a man of God. And any man in this room can be one. And you remember that statement I gave you yesterday? I may never impact, it's on the screen, a Nebuchadnezzar. But I most definitely can impact my life, my wife, my kids, my church, and my community. And I say to you, brothers, let's go do it. Let's be men of God. Let's be a man of God. Let's be men of God. Anybody here would say, Dave, I need to get to the Word. Anybody here like that? I need to pick it up. Come on, nobody here does. I need to get to the Word. Let's just be honest, all right? How many of you would say, I need to get the closet. I need to start a prayer life, and I know it. Raise your hand. Good night. You know what? I need to be more mindful of praising the Lord. I need to be all in at church and sing, and I need to be more grateful. I need to praise the Lord. Anybody here? Give me a hand. Come on, let's. And how many of you would say, you know what, Brother Young? I want to get to the impact. I want God to use me to help my wife, my marriage, my children, my family, my grandchildren, the people I work with. I'm all in, Brother Dave. I want to be a man of God. Now, Lord, you saw our hands, and you know our hearts. And I'm just asking you right now to fill us with your Spirit. I'm just asking you right now, Holy Spirit, to come upon us with your power. Give us the courage to know what, give us the wisdom to know what we ought to do and the courage to make changes and the courage to be obedient. Help the teenagers in this room right now to become men of God. Oh, Lord, help every dad here to become a man of God. Your man. Your man. For this hour. Your man and their family, their home, their marriage, their church. Help us all to be your men. Lord, I just want to thank you that this pagan king who was so godless, you loved that king. I'm astonished, Lord, at how many times you spoke to Nebuchadnezzar through the witness of Daniel. And Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Because you love Nebuchadnezzar. I, Lord, I don't know what to think about that. But I praise you for it. I praise you for it. And in the name of Jesus, amen.